is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW-Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. One of the most important countries in the world today, and in the past for that matter, is China. We trade with China, we compete with China, but how much do we really know about it? Our guests today are teachers and administrators from the Kenosha Unified School District, current and retired, who have traveled to China and hosted Chinese teachers here to tell us about this unique program that was started over a decade ago. Our guests are really amazing. They have some of the longest careers I've ever heard of here in the district, so I'm super excited about this because they're bringing expertise not just about this program, but about a lot of things. So our first guest for the past 24 years, Margot Zorner, has been a teacher for Kenosha Unified. She spent 15 years teaching first grade at Whittier Elementary School, where she also worked as a reading recovery teacher. For the past 10 years, she's been an instructional coach at Nash Elementary School, focusing on literacy and personalized learning. Hi, Margot.
Hi.
For the past 17 years, Bonnie Gettig has been teaching in the Kenosha Unified School District. She spent 13 years teaching various grade levels within the dual language program at Kaysel, Bullen Middle School, and Ebsola Schools. For the past 4 years, she has been one of three instructional coaches at Nash Elementary School. In that role, Bonnie has focused on personalized learning in the upper elementary grades. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, thank you.
And Ruth Walls is in her 40th year in education at KUSD. She has been a special education teacher and has taught first, second, and third grades. Currently, Ruth is in her fifth year as the instructional coach at Stoker Elementary. She has been part of a team writing curriculum for the district, as well as developing classes, short workshops, and professional development sessions to support teaching practices. Welcome, Ruth.
It's nice to be here, Karen.
And this is Nonolo Cicero's 51st year as an educator. In KUSD, she served as a teacher, consultant, coordinator, and retired as an elementary principal. Currently, she's an adjunct instructor and supervisor of student teachers at Carthage College. And full disclosure, she has the classroom that I use right after her on Tuesday and Thursday mornings, so I see her every week. This past summer was her fifth educator exchange trip to China. Nana is the co-facilitator of the KUSD Educator Exchange Program, along with Ed Kupka, who is student support at KUSD. Thanks, Nana, for being here.
Glad to be here.
So, let's start with you, Nana. Tell us something about this program and how it came about.
The purpose of this educator exchange program is to develop a relationship with schools in China and to so that we prepare children for the 21st century. Chinese and English are two very important critical languages for kids to know. Learning about the culture of each other's cultures helps us to have a better understanding and connection to each other in this global universe that we have now. The program has existed for about 14 years. It started with a group of filmers who came to film classrooms and then moved on to groups of visitors that Carthage sponsored. Plus, we have had about 27 teachers who were hosted by our schools over these years. We have had other visiting dignitaries come and visit us. We've had two academic year, whole year Chinese teachers at Roosevelt Elementary School. That was done through a federal grant. They each spent 1 year I'm teaching the students at Roosevelt Chinese. And then we've also had high school students, about 17, who have visited and stayed with families at both Lakeview Technical School as well as Lakeshore High School in summers. And we've had 5 visits to China ourselves, groups of educators going over to China. And the purpose of the educator exchange piece is for us to learn about each other's instructional strategies and practices, about our school systems, and how we can work together in a more beneficial way for all of the children and teachers and administrators between the two countries.
So have you been involved from the very beginning, Nana?
Yes.
So the first time that you went to China was?
In about 2006, I believe. It was a group of educators from Kenosha, as well as a county administrator. We went to Wairo, which is a sister county to Kenosha, and Wairo is a district of Beijing. Most of our exchanges have been with a school or two schools in Beijing. So that was the first one. And then after that, there were 3 visits to the school in Haidian, which is a district of Beijing. And then the recent visit to Yitian School this summer.
Okay. Do any of the others of you have more to add to that, or did she do a good description?
Nana's the expert.
She is the expert. Of course she did. So the school that you partnered with in the past is called Beijing Haidian Experimental Middle High School in Beijing, China. Can you tell us something about that school and how you got paired with it? It sounds like it was a sister county situation, but beyond that, I'm sure there are many schools in that county. So how did that one come about?
Actually, this one was not in our sister county.
Okay.
But the Haidian area is the Silicon Valley. So let me say that again. Silicon Valley area of China. So we connected through an organization that another teacher from a middle school, a social studies teacher, applied for a grant. It wasn't really a money grant, but we did form this connection with the Haidian Experimental Middle and High School. Through those exchanges, we had many teachers. We've had, as I said, about 27 teachers come and stay with us, and the majority were from that school. The school itself is a middle and high school. I expected when we got there to see the students sitting with their hands folded, looking towards the front in very straight rows. And what I found were students in sport outfits and, you know, the typical pants and jacket that kids wear, wearing tennis shoes, talking and yelling in the hallways, hitting the door jams, bouncing balls. Sleeping in the back of the classroom at times. I knew that when I taught, I figured I'd be standing at the back of the classroom, so I would make sure that everyone was paying attention. But that was, we still have that connection. And through that, I personally have formed many, many new friends. And it has been an ongoing connection. Really have enjoyed that connection.
So, you've been 5 times. How's your Chinese? Did you try to learn before you went at all? Oh, okay. Can you translate someone?
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
That's about all we all know.
Yeah.
We're very lucky because the teachers always act as our interpreters.
Oh, right.
And because the students start studying English when they are in kindergarten or first grade, while their English isn't always very strong, it's good enough that we can have conversations and talk with them. And in fact, at the high school, middle school, high school, we set aside times after lunch for them to come and just talk. Mm-hmm. And that was to practice their English as well as to hear native people who speak English mm-hmm. talk.
Mm-hmm. So you actually taught some lessons in that school?
Yes, we did. The teachers who attended at that time, we went into classrooms to model strategies. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about so much about teaching the students. It was about modeling for the teachers at that particular grade level or in that particular group of teachers. There would be many teachers who would come in and watch at the time, too. Mm-hmm. So, and then we would also have presentations on what we were planning to do. So it was about modeling, although the students got the benefits of it mm-hmm. and also heard a native English speaker.
So what kinds of things were you modeling that would maybe different than they would normally do in this school?
Well, in my particular situation, we had a film of about a day in the life of Tremper High School. Mm-hmm. So we used a Venn diagram and compared and contrast and looked at the things that were the same and then looked at the things that were different between the two schools. And there in high school, middle school and high school, there are no girlfriends and boyfriends. There are no dances. There are no driving cars to school. And, of course, the video started with a girl driving a car to school. And the students were just amazed mm-hmm. that students could drive cars to school. They were amazed that there were dances because the video clip tried to show a comprehensive view of what happens at a high school. They were amazed that kids were working together in groups on projects and things. Mm-hmm. So those are the kinds of strategies we modeled.
So Venn diagram and then maybe group work and things like that?
Yes, and we did have the students working in groups, and there were other vocabulary building activities that some mm-hmm. of the other teachers did. We had a variety so that there would be experiences with mm-hmm. multiple strategies.
Okay.
And then when they would come to the United States, we would try to model some of the same so they would see it again.
So those students were from that school were the ones that came here?
No, we did have another group of students who came from another high school that was arranged through a different agency. We had mm-hmm. about, I think it was about 17 students who came and stayed at Shoreland and Lakeview.
Okay. So just switching to another area now, the other three guests that we have today have only been to China just this past summer, and they went to, I'm not going to say it correctly, Ruth, can you help me?
Yidian Primary School.
Yidian Primary School. So, Ruth, can you tell us where it is and some of your first impressions of the school?
Sure. It's in Shenzhen, which is about an hour north-ish of Hong Kong. It's very hot. That was the very first impression. But the impression of the school when we first got there, it's gated. They had lots of security. And it's five stories high. It's huge. So that was very impressive to me. It was also impressive to know that there was a whole separate building for kindergarten alone with 1,000 five-year-olds in it. So we didn't go there, and I can't imagine 1,000 five-year-olds in one building. But it's a very huge school. And so we were on the move all the time. The other impression that I had was more of the respect that the students had for their teachers. It wasn't what we see in our schools here. Mm-hmm. They weren't necessarily sitting in rows and, you know, being perfect, but there was definitely a genuine respect mm-hmm. and orderliness to them.
Okay. Bonnie, can you tell us something about your first visit to China and to the, is it Yitian Primary School? Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What struck you about the city of Shenzhen?
Shenzhen.
And also about the school?
Well, as far as the city of Shenzhen, it's a very large city and it's very new. I believe they said it was about 30 years old. So everything there was surprisingly modern, and I think there was construction everywhere because the city's growing so quickly. There were a lot of public spaces, which was kind of a little bit different from what we see here because they were large public spaces. And because of the heat that Ruth mentioned, people were in the public spaces at night. So there were a few times that we were out in the evening and you would see groups of people doing exercise, you know, at 10 o'clock at night in this public space, or children and their families out walking, playing with pets, you know, after dark, because that's when it was cool enough. I was also impressed with the size of the school, the 5 stories, the fact that it was open air, and it was beautiful, very modern, and beautifully built, well-maintained. The people, not just the students and in the school and the teachers, but their families and just people that we would see and have contact with on a daily basis, so gracious and so welcoming and helpful as much as possible. Everybody there was just so happy we were there and just so gracious and welcoming to all of us. It was great.
That's nice. Margo, can you give us a little compare and contrast between the school in China and the KUSD schools where you've worked? How is education different in China, or at least in this school? It's probably hard to generalize, but, you know, from what you saw.
Mm-hmm. Well, there definitely are some similarities and differences. Nana expressed already that you do see children with the kind of energy that our children have here in KUSD. They come to school excited. They are eager to please their teachers right away. With that comes a difference that Ruth mentioned. There is definitely a different kind of formality that runs through the school in China. On Monday morning, there's a flag raising ceremony where all of the students and staff members attend, and the students have their uniforms on, and the teachers have their uniforms on as well. And the teachers and the students join together, and they watch the flag being raised, and they sing beautifully together. We were honored at the ceremony that week. That formality runs through every classroom when the students respond to the teacher's questions. If a student is called on, he or she would stand up instantly, straight and tall, and shout out their answer. And that was just customary for them to do it that way. There's also a very, very strong emphasis in the educational system in China that's placed on the arts. And we saw that immediately in the school. There was a separate room for painting, and then a different room for calligraphy, and a different room for modeling with clay, and a different room for paper folding. And students spent many hours in those classes really perfecting their skills. Sometimes those lessons started with students copying an example and then working more and more to build their skills. But as a result of all of those classes, we were able to observe many talented students, elementary age students, who were quite skilled in the music and in the arts. So I think that focus on the arts was a big difference.
So were you surprised? Because that's not something I would have expected, certainly.
Yes, I think that we were surprised. We learned that at the Yitian School, where we spent the majority of our time, they implemented this program where twice a year the children were given a choice of an elective. It could be a music, an art, a sport, or an academic. And then they would spend Tuesday and Thursday afternoons, a long block of time, perhaps an hour, maybe longer, working in the area they selected. So, for example, there were a group of children who selected ballet. So they would be fully dressed in their leotard and tutu, and they would have what appeared to be quite formal instruction for those hours each week.
How big were the class sizes?
I think the class sizes were probably similar to ours. What do you think, Nana?
I think they usually range from about 35 to 40.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit smaller in the elementary schools, but they're
bigger classes.
Bigger. Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just need to make a quick announcement break. You're listening to WGTD-FM, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of the exchange program between Kenosha teachers and teachers from China with educators from KUSD is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So, Bonnie, let me ask you, I know that you did some professional development during your visit, similar to what Nana did when she visited the middle and high school, right? So how did you interact with the teachers? And how do you think teaching is different in China? What are some similarities to how you spend your days, and what are some big differences?
Yes, well, first we spent, there was a lot of contact back and forth between teachers at the school and ourselves before we even went over so that we could get prepared and meet their needs. They had come to visit our school in last February, and they were very intrigued with the way that we use data to group students for instruction and then also to meet students right where they were ready to learn. So that was the focus of our professional development with the teachers as we worked there. They were so eager to learn. It was really wonderful to work with such a professional group that just kind of soaked up everything we had to give them. So that was really amazing, and it was very validating for us, I think, to realize that our profession is such an important one. As far as teaching being different from the U.S. to China, Margot mentioned a little bit about how that kind of formality that ran through the entire school day. And I guess what I noticed was there was a lot of, in language classes especially, there was a lot of whole group choral response. And the teaching and the learning and the conversations sort of followed, it almost seemed a little scripted, like there was a pattern, a predictability to it, where I think that what you would see in the United States is not that same type of level of control and predictability. There'd be a little bit more responsiveness in the U.S. One thing I saw that I thought was really great, and we thought, oh, we have to bring this back, we have to do this too, was that whenever we were observing a group of teachers in a classroom, so were other teachers. They would come in and they had notebooks and clipboards with specific notes that they were taking mm-hmm. while they were watching teacher leaders teach in the classroom. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they got that. And when we asked about that, they said, we do this on our prep time all the time. It's required. Mm-hmm. So we thought, you know, that's something interesting that would be nice for teachers to be able to do in the States, because here, new teachers are often given opportunities to go and observe other teachers. Sometimes teachers observe coaches or veteran teachers, but it's not a regular practice for teachers to go and observe other teachers on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was an interesting thing that they did.
So some of the reading that I've done about Chinese and other Asian countries' schools is that the reason they do that or can do that is because they are not with the students for as many hours a day. Is that correct? That they're not constantly in the classroom with their students? They have more time to make those visits? Or was that not true of this school?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm correct or Nana, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they had a longer school day. Mm-hmm. So they might not have been with students as continuously throughout mm-hmm. the day, and they did have professional breaks. It was a very hot climate, like mm-hmm. we mentioned, and students did take a nap in the afternoon, so there was a nap time where teachers didn't all have to be supervising that student nap time, even for older students. Mm-hmm. So they did have breaks, but they had a longer, I think they had a longer school day mm-hmm. Than we do.
At the middle and high school, that's true, Karen, that they do not teach as many classes throughout the day, and have quite a bit of prep time along with mentoring time with students or advising time with students, time to help the students. They all have offices that students go to for extra support. So that is true about the middle and the high school. Mm-hmm. One other interesting fact about the elementary school, because it's so hot, the students all brought a change of clothes during the day. Yes. And not only did the students change their clothes, sometimes the teachers changed their clothes too, because they would just get so hot and wet. So it was very, it was interesting. It was something I hadn't seen before.
Do they have locker rooms for that, or do they, where do they change?
Good question. I don't think we asked.
We weren't
sure. And we didn't see it. So.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Well, yes, and we're not used to that kind of climate. So what latitude is this? Is this like Florida or further south even than that?
It's like the Key West.
Oh, okay.
Maybe even a little bit.
Very close to the equator.
So it's very tropical it's very tropical.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Ruth, how does technology at Gideon Primary School compare with the kinds of technology that you use with students in Kenosha?
Well, funny you should ask. At Stoker Elementary, we are pretty much one-to-one device for each student, whether it be iPad, laptop, or Chromebooks, in pretty much K through 5.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very used to students using devices all day long for a variety of things. Didn't see that in China at all. I actually never saw any students on any device. But what I did notice is that the teachers are very adept at using technology to teach and creating PowerPoints and flip charts and all kinds of things that engage their students. So that was an interesting thing to watch, because our teachers have a lot of technology at their fingertips, and I was like, maybe we should learn to use that as well as they do, because it was very inspiring.
Okay. So, Margot, can you tell us what are the students like? We've heard a little bit about them, but you know, are kids just kids anywhere you go? Is there something unique about American students, you think, compared to Chinese students, or you know, is it maybe our sample isn't big enough because you're really talking about one school that you saw, but you know, tell us what you think overall.
Sure. Thank you for giving me this question. I think that I can speak on behalf of the whole group. We fell in love with the Chinese students immediately, and they gave us so much love right from the very beginning. They were very eager to see us. I think that their teachers and administrators had prepared them before we arrived. We felt like honored guests. Nana mentioned how you see the same kinds of excitement and same kinds of energies as kids are walking through the halls and whispering to friends and playing together at recess. We definitely saw all of those similarities when they weren't having their instructional times. A beautiful thing that happened the second day we were there, we were approached by a group of children, and they asked us if we gave hugs.
Oh.
And we said, yes, we give hugs all the time. Mm-hmm. And after that, we had like big circles of hugs around us. So they were very loving, just like the children here are. I'd say more similar than different.
Do they get a lot of visitors at this school from either other parts of China or other parts of the world, or don't you know?
They do.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's because Yitun School is a private school, and it's also quite well known, and they are focusing on personalized learning. So they do have people who come in from other schools who come in to observe and to watch and to see how they have things set up. And also the way the building is set up, it has large common areas. In the classroom, the desks are not like what we see here. They're not really desks. They're tables in unique formation where the kids can work in groups.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like an individualized desk. So we know that a lot of group work goes on, and we saw the group work as we watched.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious then, since it's a private school, do they have, for example, special education that you were aware of or saw? Or did the teachers ask about that?
We did not see any special needs students that were recognizable, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So.
in the public schools, you don't see them either.
Okay.
Special children with special needs are sent to other schools. Mm-hmm. They're separated from the traditional.
Right. I mean, that is sort of a unique aspect of American education. We were really the first country to do inclusive education of special needs students, and we're pretty far along compared to most places. So that's interesting to hear that that's the case.
When you ask the teachers, well, where are students with special needs?
Mm-hmm.
They kind of shrug their shoulders. And some will tell you they're in another school someplace else. But it isn't, there doesn't seem to be any kind of interaction between the schools.
So it's more like what we might have seen back, you know, sort of before the 1950s, for example.
Yes. And when visitors have come here, they've been fascinated with how inclusive our schools are here.
Mm-hmm.
Just fascinated.
Right. It is something I think we probably can be quite proud of. It's very different than almost anywhere, really. I've had students at Carthage. We have students come from foreign countries to teach language classes to our students, and I've had some in my classes, and they've also remarked on that when they go to our local schools to observe, they're surprised. You know, even the European countries don't include nearly as much as we do, so that's sort of interesting. I'm sorry if I took you off track a little bit, Marco. Where did you have more to add to this about the students?
Well, yes, I did notice a difference, and it's not necessarily an educational difference, but during the school day, it was very common for the students to have extremely healthy meals and mm-hmm. snacks. We observed them in the morning having their breakfast, and again at lunchtime, and the majority of the space on their plate would be filled with fruits or vegetables, and there was no pouty face or a sad look. They just eagerly ate very, very healthy meals. We also saw that out in public mm-hmm. when we were traveling, and it was really beautiful to see those kinds of eating habits instilled in such young children.
Did they serve the meals to the students there, or did they bring them?
Well, the students lined up, I guess, cafeteria style, and they put the meals on their plates. We did have opportunities to eat at many hotels and restaurants where we did go and serve ourselves, and I observed several children, you know, putting the spoon into a bowl of vegetables and just keeping them on their plates.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very common.
That's good to see. I'm mm-hmm. trying to imagine, you know, since you've told us about the size of the school, like how big the cafeteria function must be in order to feed all those students.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And they weren't packaged meals like we get in
right,
our
so
schools
everything
here.
was cut and
yes.
processed fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the week that we were there, they had all Chinese specialty foods from different parts of the country. So we experienced many different kinds of seafoods and delicacies.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth, can you tell us a little bit about sort of what your days were like? Now I'm getting into the part everyone wants to hear about, which is food. So so if you can tell us about, like, where did you stay? What did you eat? Who did you meet? You know, sort of what take us through a day in the life, I guess.
We stayed in a Aloft Hotel that was a 5-minute walk from the school. It was a brand new hotel, probably had only opened in the spring, maybe. So that was gorgeous in itself, very beautiful rooms. And they picked us up, even though it was only a 5-minute walk from the school, they picked us up the first day in these antique cars. They were, it was amazing. We were like royalty being delivered to this. Mm. To this school. and then from then on, it was by private cars. But they always picked us up. They would not let us walk. And so we're delivered to school. We're immediately taken to breakfast. And then we're delivered to a classroom. And it was, we always felt it was like, I don't know, being announced on the radio, you know, they're coming. And you could see the children start to settle down. They always opened the classes with a song. Some of the children did a dance, you know, that they really truly are very supportive of the arts and having their children be in the arts. So we would observe classes. We did demo classes, and in a few of them we did in services with whole groups of teachers. And on the last day we were there, we did a whole big conference where there were nearly 400 people there from around the area, educators and stuff, so that we were kind of talking about personalized learning and sharing together. So our days were busy, they were full, and we learned tons. We were able to talk with the teacher that was assigned to us to interpret whatever we were teaching at the time, and that really developed a lot of friendships and a lot of knowledge just between us, you know, so it was very wonderful.
That sounds great. We're actually down to less than 10 minutes, so I'm going to skip way ahead, unfortunately. I know there's a lot that we'd like to talk about. Ruth, or actually could be anyone, how are people chosen to participate on these trips, and how are they funded?
I got an email from my principal and said, do you want to go to China? So I asked my husband if I could, and he said, when else will you get to do this? And off I went.
Oh, okay. So it's just sort of word of mouth then, maybe? Or is it, or
no,
the
Nana had Nana, called.
Oh, okay. Nana, you're of course. Silly me.
Yeah. We this school is focusing on personalized learning.
Right.
So Ed Kupka and I approached the schools that are doing personalized learning and approached the principals first, and then I think they asked the instructional coaches if they'd be interested in going to China to work with the school with personalized learning. And four people responded and that they wanted to go, and so that's how we did it. Mm-hmm. In other years, it has been more open because it's been a middle high school situation, so we've had a variety of middle high school teachers and elementary teachers going over, and that usually, as I said, was more of an open-ended process. This time we went specifically looking for people who had expertise in personalized learning.
And then do you just pay for it yourself, or how does this work?
We did pay for it ourselves, yes. Mm-hmm.
So you have to be ready to foot that bill, which is, I'm sure, just the airfare alone is really a lot, right?
The agreement in all of the partnerships is that the visitors, no matter which side they're from, pay for their own airfare and souvenirs and personal costs. Once they get to where they're supposed to arrive, then the hosting school or district provides housing, provides meals, provides activities, and professional development opportunities. So there is no district money used at all. Mm-hmm. It all is done through, at least on this end, through the goodness of school teachers and parents, who families who want to sponsor the teachers. The teachers usually stay 3 to 4 weeks. They host them in their homes, and everything is covered that way. There is no district money used for that.
So for the first 10 days, the school paid for all of our housing, all of our food. We only paid for the airfare.
Oh, that's really lovely. Mm-hmm. So, again, we're getting close to the end. One of the things is that I know there's a video of this visit. Where could our listeners find that if they wanted to see it?
Oh, we would love you to see the video. The video was made by Ed Kupka. You can find it on YouTube, and it says China school visit, KUSD school visit to Yitian school. And in it, you will see many, many, many smiling, excited student faces. Just wonderful.
So I will find it, and I'll put a link on the WGTD Education Matters Facebook page. So if they really want to click through and see it, it'll be there after this show airs. So the last thing I want to ask all of you is, what is sort of the best story, impression, life lesson that you will take from this experience in China? And we'll start with Margot.
I was surprised and deeply touched by the instant connection I felt with the teachers at the Yidian school. Despite the distance between us and the fact that we speak different languages, our love for children and for teaching allowed us to form an instant bond, and I am very grateful that I had the opportunity to work so closely with the teachers.
That's really nice. Thanks. And Ruth?
I think the culture. What I learned is from many different people is that there isn't anything in China that doesn't have a meaning, from the foods to the colors to the shapes to the sizes. Everything in China has a meaning.
Can you give an example?
Oh, I knew you'd ask. lots of the animals, like the dragon and the phoenix, were very important to the emperors. And it generally, they meant fortitude, kind of, you know, what's a word, Margot? Get, help me.
Well, the phoenix is the rising part.
Right. But they all had a particular meaning. But one of the things, the Temple of Heaven is round. Heaven is round. And Earth is square. So if you watch the Beijing Olympic Games, the bird's nest was round to represent heaven, and the cube where the water events went were represented Earth.
Oh, so okay. That's very interesting. And Bonnie?
Well, like Margot, I was impressed with the connection that we had with the teachers right away. And the thing I think that will stay with me the most was we presented to teachers. We did some model lessons. And in our model lessons, we all wrote a learning target on the chalkboard. So we wrote, before we started teaching, we wrote what we wanted the students to be able to do. And the very next day, the very first class that we observed in, he wrote a learning target on the board. And we all looked at each other like, we did that, you know, and it just was such a powerful moment to think that we had made such an impact so far away from our homes. It was really, I guess it was humbling, but at the same time, it just made me really, really proud to be part of this group.
That's great. This will be harder for you, Nana, because you've been there 5 times, but what can you tell us?
Oh, I have one.
Oh, good.
She has been.
Because I have experienced China 5 times and I've been in many schools in China, every school is wonderful. Every school treats us as visitors like royalty. It's phenomenal. But the best thing for me is that each time we go, a new group of teachers goes along with, and they get to experience what life is like in China and what education is like in China. And it forever brings us together, and it also expands and broadens our own understanding of this world and of teaching, so that we are all more alike than we certainly are different. And so what touches me the most is the people I get to share the experience with each time.
That's lovely. We could go on. We should maybe schedule another show, but we're all out of time. So I just wanted to give a big thank you to Margot Zerner and Bonnie Gettig from Nash Elementary School, Ruth Walls from Stoker Elementary School, and Nana Lo Cicero, retired KUSD administrator and co-facilitator of the Educator Exchange Program. You're listening to WGTD-FM, and this is Education Matters. You are invited to listen again at our WGTD.org page. The Education Matters archive is located there, and we also have a Facebook page, and you can join in a discussion there. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Support comes from Andrea's, inviting you to enjoy the wonders of the season at Andrea's with beautiful fall decor and scrumptious Halloween candy. Find Jack's Cafe filled with pumpkin shakes, pumpkin lattes, and pumpkin pie. at the corner of 60th Street and 24th Avenue.
Support comes from the Racine Theater Guild presenting the comedy Kitchen Witches, weekends through November 6. The insults are thrown further than the food when a grudge between two cable TV hostesses threatens to torpedo their new food show.